Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get money.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim,
yeah.
Jimmy, PJ,
B. Yes, he is him.
Commander. How you want to end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic. Sort of like the rubber when it's game time. They like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Before we even get started, rest in peace, and I'll keep that. Love you, boy. This one's for you.
Boom.
Welcome to The Price is Nine. I'm your host, Wes Weinstein. And please give it up for our orchestra led by the great Wes Manchild. We have an array of prizes to give away today, and our first contestant is coming from West Philadelphia. Jill Moody, come on down.
This Thursday, December 8th, 2011, and it's about that. Who are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. I'm at the round table with the homies Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. We have a great show for you tonight. We're going to do what we do and provide your sports fix for the week. We'll be doing part two of our series on hip-hop and sports. At the top of the hour, we'll be talking to hip-hop producer Wes Manchild. He's very talented. You're listening to one of his tracks right now. Of course, we want to hear from you tonight, so jump in that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room, or just join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call us on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. We want to give a shout out to our Philly radio brethren, Roy and Chris, over at the Broad Street Line. Check their show out every Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. They're co-sponsoring with us this petition to bring the beloved mascot Big Shot back to Philly, but we'll give you the details of that in just a minute. Y'all know what time it is now, but before we get into these birthdays, we're going to let Chill Moody keep rocking over this West Manchild beat in just a minute.
Take advantage of the track, I slip to the roof, fade, and move smoothly like I'm picking a boot play.
Nice thing.
Fuck what the radio tell us, they overzealous, claiming they presenting the facts, but they embellish. If that dude's the king of my city, I want another crown. Hip-hop ain't died, just went underground. Serum to think they can...
What?
My birthday, yay!
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
What's going on,
Jim?
How are you?
I'm good. Yo, birthdays, for those who don't know, are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Go ask for Lisa, because some of you ladies, I've seen you out in public, and you need to be ashamed of yourself. Anyway, the first birthday I want to bring up is one young gentleman that's been in the news, one Dwight David Howard, who turns 26.
My birthday, yay!
Be awesome. I'm going to start with you, good brother. When I say Dwight Howard, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
The fact that his two shoulders are the same size as his cranial region. That's the first thing. And pretty nice with that basketball, but he got to get his free throw game up.
Yeah, no doubt. Doc Bay, what do you think of?
Yo, I think of, man, you know, I didn't think Shaq was Superman. You know, I thought like Superman as a kid. You know, I'm just trying to wish Shaq stopped messing with me.
Yeah, he definitely was a Shaq stan, and, like, you know, I guess Shaq didn't take too kind to that. I wonder if Shaq will loosen up now that he's retired and stop acting like an idiot. The dude looked up to him, and Shaq straight pooped on him. Dev.
Yo, I think of, you can't help right now but to think of the Los Angeles Lakers with all the rumors going around about Dwight, the three-headed monster, we like to call him, and CP3, so... We're going to talk about that a little later, but that's what I'm thinking of right now when I think of Dwight.
Yeah, no doubt. So shout out to him on his birthday. Let's move right along. Next birthday is one Philip Rivers, who turns 30. And before I get to any of you gentlemen, I personally want to say that if I see Philip Rivers anytime soon, we got to have a steel cage match, because this has been my fantasy quarterback, right? In this league I'm in, you get to keep a player. So Phillip Rivers has been my keeper for the last couple of years, but, you know, I don't think I'm keeping him after this season. I'm going to roll with Cam Newton. So with that being said, if I see you, Phillip, it's on. Dev, when I say Phillip Rivers to you, what do you say?
Man, you're going to pass it off to me, and you know in the league that we playing together, he's my starting quarterback. And, yo, I've lost a lot of games this year by, like, 2 points, 4 points, 6 points, stuff like that. And it's all because this dude was throwing picks, pick after pick. Last week, in the last game of the season where it meant nothing, the dude got me 44 points, balling.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Since he is your fantasy quarterback, before I get to the rest of the guys, what do you think his issue is this year?
I don't know. I mean, his weapons are there. You can't really say it's the Gates thing because he balled out of control a lot, you know, a lot of the time without Gates last year. Their offensive line wasn't the same as it has been. And you know what? People may not, you know, give him props for being the weapon that he is, but losing Darren Sproles might have been a big part of, you know, his offense not being as wide open as he expected it to be.
He's been playing well. He's been playing well with his new team. Austin. Phillip Rivers.
I never knew that you could shot put a ball accurately because his release of football.
Yeah, he's from the Tim Tebow School of Quarterbacking. His form is quite ugly, but it's effective. Doc Bayon.
Yo, when I think of Phillip Rivers, I think of, you know, a guy like Brad said has an uncanny throwing ability or throwing style that's different, but it's effective. And also how about him being in that next tier of quarterbacks. You know, at the beginning of last season, you know, after Brady, Breeze, and Manning, it was like the next tier was like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Phillip Rivers, Romo, and then Rodgers just left that group like, yo, I'm out of here. And he so Phillip Rivers is still there, but Phillip Rivers might be falling below to the next notch if he keeps it up because he's having the worst season of his career.
What was my next question for you guys? Do you think that he's now falling in terms of his ranking, or where would you put him at now? Would you still put him top 10?
I don't like to make knee-jerk reactions and just say somebody's falling off because of one bad season. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to reserve that until I see some consistent decline. But I know that I can't look at him throw the ball.
I wouldn't just drop him, you know, that far after one bad season, because last year I had him at a solid, you know, 4. You know, this year, of course, you got Aaron Rodgers who jumps past that and jumps into that mix. So, you know, he's still either 5 or below, but he's still in the top 10. Not even close to dropping out of the top 10.
Gotcha. I mean, it's not like there's that many great players in that position. Let's move on, though. Next birthday I want to ask you guys about is one Teresa Gay Weatherspoon. He turns 46. Let's start with you, Beth.
Yo, I'm
my
just,
birthday. Oh, yay!
It's, you know how a lot of people think of these WNBA players, and, you know, it's just ironic that her middle name is Gay. You know, they probably thought that you just made that up. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm going to just leave it there before we get in trouble like last week, man.
Yo, I have nothing at all to say. I'm going to go to Doc Bay.
The first thing that comes to mind when I think of Teresa Witherspoon is hardcore. Like, she's just a hardcore basketball player, and she seemed to be real tough. That's all. You know, shout out to her.
What are you trying to say? Gay?
Yo, y'all trying to set me up to go last because y'all know I got no filter. I see what y'all doing.
I think of
Teresa Witherspoon, I think of rainbow. I think of motorcycle chick. I think of cornrows. I think of sagging pants.
I think of
Ellen DeGeneres.
I got you. Let's move on. Personally, I just think of the movie Set It Off. But, yo, let's move on. The last person I want to talk about is your guy. One, Jeffrey Scott George, a.k.a. Jeff George, turns 48.
My Doc birthday. Bell. Yay!
How about you, good brother? When I say Jeff George, what do you think of?
I think Al Davis and Al Davis thinking like, man, we had a quarterback I've been desiring for a long time to get that vertical passing game going, and him just chucking it long for no reason and really not I'm not going to say he had a horrible career, but for the talent that he had, God blessed him with, like, he surely pissed it away. So
Right.
Yeah, he threw one of the prettiest passes I've ever seen. His arm was phenomenal, but he also was a mental midget. So, Dev, what you got to say about this young man?
Exactly what you just said, because he's one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever step through this league. But just like you just said, he was a mental midget, and he never even came close to living up to his potential. I wouldn't call him a bust. Not at all. I wouldn't call him a bust because, you know, he had, you know, he was in the league long enough, you know, playing enough to not be a bust. But
yo, he's one of those guys that you kept hearing, like, even after he was gone, maybe they're going to bring back Jeff George. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
same,
like last year. I think last year or two years ago.
Last year he offered to come back.
Yeah, he was always that viable option. Like, if you ran out of options, he was always the dude.
He was a bootleg Jeff Garcia, yo, because I honestly think now that Jeff Garcia may be the greatest backup ever, yo.
Nah, Jeff George, the reason that we can't use him in the same sentence with your man from San Francisco is because Jeff George could throw the ball so hard, he could throw it, like, through walls. They could have took him to Iraq to pick people off. Like, and he was a white guy with a jerry curl.
Yo, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying, though, about Jeff Garcia. Jeff Garcia is like always, you know, my entire lifetime has been like, yo, let's just bring in Jeff Garcia. And he's not a great starting quarterback, but he'll give you that little spark for, you know, 3-4 games, and he's always been that guy. They took him out of the house.
He was a Pro Bowler as a starter.
I know he was a Pro Bowl quarterback back when Tito called him Fruity and all that. I remember that, but I'm saying when he became a backup quarterback, yo, you hear his name every year. Yo, we going to get Jeff
up. Because,
one of the guys,
you know what that is, Jimmy? In my opinion, he's good enough to be a starter, but you look at his diminutive size and weak arm, and you're just like, he's not prototypical, so you're always looking for something next, even though he gets you wins. He should have been the starting quarterback after 2006 in Philadelphia. That's all I'm going to say.
Yo,
that's going to go a whole sidebar about your man.
He did better than McNabb. He did just as good as McNabb. It's not better in his time in Philly. You know what I mean?
Ain't hard to be, but still. Anyway, those are the birthdays. Dev, take it away.
All right, so I'm going to tell everybody what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. This is a story that, you know, I got from Akil earlier this morning. Did you guys hear about the football player, high school player in Massachusetts? They were in a state championship game. He was running in what would have been the go-ahead touchdown, and as he was going into the end zone, he raised his hand for a quick second in celebration. They called unsportsmanlike conduct, and they took the touchdown away. They lost the state championship, and it was dude's 18th birthday. Bayon, what do you think about that penalty at that time?
Yo, I have some friends who actually played high school football in Massachusetts, and although Massachusetts is more of a, I guess, liberal kind of state, they say the racism in Massachusetts is kind of underlined, where it's not overt, like in some places in the South. And I think that right there was kind of a sign of, it may not have been racism, but they might have felt like, man, this African-American kid is, you know, celebrating and taunting. And you know what? Let's show him. Let's teach him a lesson. Because that's kind of crazy to take away the chip because of that.
Okay, because I didn't even know, you know, whether he was black or white. So that's news to me. I just thought it was really stupid to call that kind of penalty at that time, because even when I read the rules, I don't really think that fell under what they deemed to be an unsportsmanlike penalty, because he didn't raise his arm for like an extended period of time. He raised it up, brought it right back down, scored the touchdown. I think that was terrible at that moment.
I actually saw the play, And it was egregious. Let me tell you why it was egregious. I mean, because of what you just said. He just lifted his hand up. Like, he didn't really celebrate. What would that ref do if this was the public league, considering how I've seen some celebrations in the pub that go way beyond what he did? I didn't know about the whole race angle. I didn't even think about the race angle when I was looking at the play. I just thought it was a ref sounding egregious, making an egregious act, basically, because it was two of them that happened this past week, both in high school, where another guy got called for a taunting penalty for, like, you know, just throwing the ball.
It's crazy.
I'm disappointed, and I say shame on you, to the Massachusetts Athletic Commission or whatever their governing body is. The mayor of the city is actually he's reached out to the Athletic Commission. He's reached out to the governor of the state. I hope they get Obama involved.
What would they do? Just change the result of the game or something like that?
I don't know. Make them replay it over something. And what I've heard, and this is secondhand, is that the kids aren't even really tripping. Like, they are taking it like, man, they're being real calm. They haven't, you know, jumped out there. And so I have a lot of respect for them as a team and as players and even individually. You know, they know that they've been wrong, but they're not being what the refs are insinuating that they are.
I commend them for that, because I'd be going crazy right now.
We know.
Hey,
what
I
you
got a question.
We know.
Hey,
what
yo,
you
I got a question. I got a question. So if you're the other team, right, knowing that this happened and they gave you the championship, would you go get a championship jacket if you were one of the players and rock that around the city, like, yo, we won the championship?
Hell yeah! I'm taking my chip.
You ain't never lie.
I'm gonna take that.
I feel where you're going.
Rock my jacket where I know they hang. I'm going where they are.
I feel where you're coming from, Akil. And as an idealist, I would like to say that I wouldn't, but at 18 years old, I'd probably have championship tattoo on my member and pull it out as a girl.
Yo, at 18 years old, your whole life is bush league. So, like, come on. Your whole
life. The only way I'm not is if I'm coached by Coach Taylor. And, you know, if Coach Taylor tell me that's not cool, then I might not do it.
Yeah, he teach you more respect than that. But the next, let's move on to the next story. The Big East. They adding some members to the conference next year, 2013. These are the schools that are going to be added to the Big East. A couple of them are just football, but some of them are everything. We got Boise State, San Diego State, Houston, UCF, and SMU. Big East? Like, east of what? Hawaii? Like,
yo, Boise. Yo, boy, you can drive to the Pacific Ocean in the time that it takes to fly to the Atlantic from Boise. Like, what are they talking about?
I don't know what you're
noticing now, but are they going to go through a name change, or are they going to keep it the Big East?
They have to. Right now, they're not talking much about that. They're just talking about the realignment, you know, and the expansion. But I can't see them calling, you know, continuing to call us the Big East. They might as well just call it, like, the Big Country or something like that. Cause
the Big Country Conference.
No way.
The Big Nation.
Because they're showing us that it's all about money. You know, they don't really care about geographical regions or anything like that. So they have to change the name of it. But the only part about that is, you know, the Big East is a storied conference, especially in basketball. So they're going to have trouble, you know, trying to get that done. But if you got teams coming all the way over from the Pacific,
yo,
then
they're just selling all the way out. Never trust a man with no facial hair. Somebody with no facial hair.
Real quick, gentlemen, breaking news. The Lakers just got CP3.
Oh,
I'm trying to get all the details. It looked like for Powell, but they got CP3.
All right, well, we throw that in there. We got a segment, a little topic about CP3 and Dwight later.
Snap.
So
That's what all the sports. That's what all the sports reporters are saying on Twitter. That
But the Lakers. But the Lakers already had a point guard.
Hey, yo, check this out, though. Check this out. So Derek Fisher, he does all that work to try to get the league back, and this is his reward?
You come?
Yo, Derek Fisher's like, I started that gangster-ish. This is mother, father, thanks I get. All right, next story, we're going to move on.
Yo,
NHL.
Real quick, though, just on that story, on that story, I just thought about something. That means that L.A. has gotten two stars in one day in two different sports. It's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, no, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. So since, you know, that jumped into the joint, we'll just tell, you know, we don't have to talk about it. The NHL, hockey heads can discuss this on our page because not a lot of people understand the meaning of this, but the NHL just is going to realign to four conferences instead of the six divisions that they have currently. Why? They're saying every team is going to be able to play a home-and-home series with every other team in the league. Why they can't do that now, I'm not really sure. So if somebody smarter than me can call in and let us know, please do that. Now, the big news of the day before what Jimmy just told us is probably still the biggest news of the day. Of course, we already know the big moves in baseball. The Marlins got Jose Reyes, and since they were out of the Albert Pujols sweepstakes, they signed starting pitcher Mark Burley. The news that dropped later on in the day, of course, Anaheim got C.J. Wilson, a pitcher, and they landed the big fish, Albert Pujols. 10 years, $250 million, Jimmy.
Woo!
What's up with this contract, man?
Yo, all I know is that Albert got a lot of chicken, and I it's ridiculous, but I think it's a smart move on his. As I was sitting back thinking about it, I said he wants a 10-year deal. He's 32 years old. He has to go to the American League. And when you talk about the money they gave him, come on, man. How could you not take that deal? Think about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, after 5 years from now, he's not going to want to play in the field. He's going to be a DH. He can't do that staying in St. Louis. He just want to kick Juan Jepez. He got kids to feed, man. You know what Sprewell said, man. You got kids to feed.
Yeah, well, they definitely showed him the money on that one. Austin, what do you think about his contract? He didn't get the $300 million he wanted in the beginning of the season, but
yo,
10 for 250, and you can be a DH after a couple years?
Yo, man to man, Albert, if you're listening, congratulations to you and the next 1,000 years of your family, man.
However, watch your back, homie. Watch your back. Bam, what you think about that before we move
yo,
on?
Yo, It's very interesting because you remember in the summertime, well, before the season in the spring, they were like, well, I want this, I want that. And then, you know, they would mention it during the season about his contract. And homie just went out and won a World Series, although he played like garbage except for one game. You know, but, you know, his agent was like, look, you know, we won a World Series. So, you know, more power to him, and I hope he spends his money wisely.
What you going
to
do when Albert comes for you? Yo, can we check the numbers on that? Because I heard it was 10 years, $245
million. Yeah, I've heard three different things, but does it really matter?
It don't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Something million dollars. Does it really matter? So that's what happened today and earlier this week while y'all were on the grind.
All right. It's time to pass the rock. Hey, Zach, do I sound good, Paul?
Yeah, your mic sound better.
All right, no doubt. It's time to pass the rock, which is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. For those who don't know what pass the rock is, that's on you. You should have been listening. But in terms of Bay Financial Services, visit our website, warroomsports.com, to get more information. They help you take care of your money. With that being said, I'm going to bring the rock up. I'll be very brief this week.
What's up,
man?
This
is Jimmy, also known as the Blueprint, also known as War Room Jimmy. And I'll be very brief. I just want to say something about the Philadelphia 76ers and their search for a new mascot. What the Sam hell does a moose or a dog have to do with the city of Philadelphia? Now, I mean, you know, when you think of things synonymous with the city, you know, I would have rather seen a cheesesteak or hell, a crackhead or a Philly's blunt. But what does the moose or a dog have to do with the city? With that being said, I want everybody to know that we started the campaign to bring back Big Shot. Visit our website, warmersports.com, to get more information. And please don't vote on a moose or a damn dog. What does that have to do with Philly? If anybody knows what that is, you can shoot me an email or send me a tweet. Because like I said, if they would have put a crackhead up there, that would have been more synonymous with Philadelphia than a moose or a dog. And with that being said, I'm going to pass the rock to my good brother, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Yo, constant disrespect of our city, family. Constant disrespect.
What's the moose got to do with the city, cuz? Do you have any idea?
And I've never seen a moose in Philadelphia, even at the zoo. I think they shot it.
I've seen a few mooses. Meese. I've seen some meeses.
I ain't talking about Booger Wolf Jones on two legs.
Ladies
and gentlemen, Lemmings, low lives, and listeners, I really don't have much to say today. Just happy holidays. And if you have some time on your hands, Google Jamal Crawford, Shake and Bake. Close your eyes as it comes on after you watch a little bit of it. And see if you don't smell starch like something's getting iron, crispy. All right, that's it for me. I'm going to pass the rock to my man, Kill. Get busy, brother.
All right, I appreciate that. Yeah, Jamal Crawford has the shippy sharp, like, bing, bang, booms, and leave you on your back. Good evening, War Room World. I'm going to be brief this evening. And if some of you may remember from a year ago, I did a PTR about the Big East Conference as they were adding new schools. And at that point, I said, you know what? The Big East should change their name to the Benz MWC, standing for the Big East North South Midwest Conference. Now, recently, we all know that the Big East has added teams on the West Coast, as well as in Texas. And I'm trying to think, how does a father tell his son at a game when the son says, Dad, you know, Boise State, why are they in the Big East? Aren't we in the Northwest Pacific? And he's like, well, son, you know, some things just are the way they are. So instead of messing up kids' geographical knowledge and having a name that does not make sense as the Big East, I have a proposal for the Big East to change their name to the Benz MWWC, standing for the Big East North South Midwest West Conference. And with that, I will throw a basic bounce pass to my man, Dev.
All right, good evening, War Room World. Yeah, that whole Big East thing is crazy, Kill. I just got a few bars for the average working man out there. And matter of fact, I'm going to go with the slightly above average working man out there. If you make $100,000 a year, it will take you 254 years of hard work to make Albert Pujols' new contract. Let that simmer for a little bit. And with that, I see my man P. Jitty running to the hoop baseline, so I'm going to toss the hoop, and I'm not even looking. I just threw it over my shoulder.
Yo, I just got depressed from that breakdown because that's resonating right now. I'm like,
Gaya. That's 254 years for 1 year of his contract. That's just 1 year.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-mm-mm. Well, real quick, man, I just want to talk to the Aki Jason Peters. Mister, I'm looking like Stevie with beads under the do-rag. But nonetheless, real recognize real. Now, we all know that Mr. Peters is a dedicated fan of the show because almost immediately last year, after the rant that I had for him, he commits to balling. Mr. Peters, you were balling like you were knee-deep in a contract season. And right now, you're arguably the best right tackle in the league. I'm watching you violently obliterate would-be tacklers on the first, second, and sometimes third level of defense. I mean, in my Michael Irvin voice, you're a bitch. And for the record, my verbal assault on you last year was predicated on the stupid penalties, lapses in concentration, and you just seem to always find yourself guilty of way too often. Not necessarily your quality of play, because that was still intact. But But anyway, hats off to you, big homie. You and Shady McCoy are basically the only bright spots on that bunion fungus of a football team we call the Eagles. So please keep up the great work, my brother. But before I go, what would it take from the fan base or the Eagles organization to get those coonish third world country beads off the back of your neck? I mean, I'm all for free expression and all, but what message are you trying to convey with plastic multicolored beads draping from your locks? I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, no biggie, such is life. And with that, I'm going to bring the oop down, dribble it out, right? Because I see one last defender out there trying to guard me on the perimeter. So I just hit him with my new oyster dribble. I was working on that last night. He don't know what hit him. He thinks he's somewhere living wild and free with Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa. I gather myself, leap up from a jump stop, 360-degree windmill through the legs like Harold Miner. Remember him? I yam it with all my might, shatter the glass, play clock, and a TV camera. I walk back to the bench with a bop, not before blowing a kiss at that big booty cheerleader. I mean, she keeps smiling at me, so I blow a kiss at her. I took a seat on the bench, grabbed my towel, and said my grace.
Yo, and then the crowd all jumped out the window because they were hyped. He just messed up my assist,
though. Real quick, before we
I ain't getting no assist for that.
Dad, just to give you a little bit of information on the deal, it's a three-way deal.
No, that's what I was about to. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, the three-way deal. I just got some more information. They're saying that Pau Gasol is actually going to Houston. CP3 is going to L.A., and the Hornets are getting Luis Scola and Martin. But my thing is, if you're giving up Martin and Scola, Pau Gasol is basically down there by himself now.
So it's going to be the Grizzlies all over again.
Pretty much. Like, Scola and Martin was the Houston's best players. New Orleans considering they were going to lose, they were going to get nothing back, they actually got, a couple good players.
And shout out to Austin for correcting that, because you're right, that's like 250 years. That's like one year of his contract.
That's
so
1 year.
It would take you like 2,500 years if you make $100,000 a year to make Albert Pujols' whole contract. Come on, man.
So 2.5 centuries.
It'd take you – that's 2.5 millennium.
Millennium. PJ, listen to this number right here. Albert Pujols makes 68 stacks a day.
Come on, man. Yo, that's more than Nino Brown money right there, man. Come on, man.
Hey, PJ, tell them how to get in touch with us, because maybe if more people get in touch with us, we can start getting our stacks up.
Exactly. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. Now, while you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices, and to watch our YouTube videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand. Raise your hand, and we just might call on you.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get in some hot topics real quick, fellas. Hot topics are brought to you by Audible. So is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. All right. we had a pretty big fight this past weekend. I don't know if too many of us actually saw the fight. So Miguel Cotto, whatever, however you pronounce his name, and Margarito got it in on Saturday night. Did any of you fellas see the fight yet?
I saw some highlights. Miguel Cotto actually won the fight. The fight was actually stopped in the 10th round because Antonio Margarito, the ref stopped it because his eye was closed shut and he basically couldn't see and he was just getting pummeled with lefts all night. And ironically, it's the same eye that Manny Pacquiao broke the orbital bone of last year. And there was some question whether or not Margarito was even going to get licensed to be able to fight because of the concerns of that eye. And like right around in the fourth round of the fight, Cotto hit him with a punch that kind of like opened it up a little bit and got some swelling going there. And then Cotto just stayed on that eye for the rest of the fight. So it really wasn't a great fight. I mean, Antonio Margarito, it's about it for him. I mean, you know, 46 fights.
I guess he didn't have any cement in his gloves this time.
No, exactly. I'm about to say, you know, he didn't have, because, you know, when he fought Miguel Cotto the first time, he beat the trash out of him. Miguel Cotto looked like the results of, like, a steamroll accident, but it's because he had the stucco in his gloves, and he didn't have it this time, and he got, you know, the fight was taken to him this time around.
I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was out of town with no access, so I still haven't seen it yet, but, you know, I heard it was, you know, a pretty good fight. I mean, whenever you get some closed eyes and stuff, and somebody was getting tagged, so I don't know. We bring it up a little bit again when everybody gets to watching it, but did you guys, everybody heard about it. Some of you might have watched it. Tiger Woods has finally gotten back into the winner's column. He won the Chevron Challenge by one shot this past weekend. Jimmy. What got into your man Tiger? Is he on his way back? Does this mean anything?
He's probably getting some yams again. I mean, somebody has to check
Tiger
his personal life and see what's going on in his personal life. But it was good to see him, you know, come back and get a win because it's been a long time.
Yeah. That was pretty. I mean, when he sunk the last putt and got hype, you know, threw the fist up there. Yeah, I got kind of hyped, man. I want to see Tiger back on top, especially since, you know, once they build you up, you do a few things wrong, they tear you back down, and a lot of people out there saying never, and he can't do this, he can't do that, and they're naming all of these young guys who really haven't won anything as being better than him. I really hope that this win, you know, propels him to more, because I do want to see him tie that. I want to see him actually, you know, get more major wins than Jack. So I hope it means something.
Yeah.
I got a different spin on it. I mean, obviously Tiger is getting into some things that are allowing him to refocus.
make it some petty,
come back around to who and what we know Tiger to be. Or it could just be one win. Like, you know, we always say here on the War Room, we are not captive to just one moment in time. And so, you know, don't knee-jerk, although someone may be jerk. I don't know what's going on with Tiger. I don't know what's going on with Tiger. But he, you know, maybe Fuzzy Zeller, he's going back to those moments, and those are motivating him. Who knows?
I just hope that he keeps it up, man, because I want to see the dude back on top and all the naysayers on him.
Yeah, I just want to say, just like you said earlier, that fist pump was definitely reminiscent of the Tiger of old, man. He chills a little bit. Tiger's back.
Yeah. So I hope that was a here I come, stop playing with me fist pump. A little bit of college football. LSU and Alabama will face off for the national championship. There's a few people who are actually up in arms about this, you know, because of the whole BCS system. Anybody here got a problem with this matchup?
Not really.
Oh, go ahead.
My thing is, okay, you had these teams with one loss. I mean, how do you decide between the other one-loss teams? And then the team that lost lost to the number one team. I mean, so it's really no argument unless they had a playoff system.
I mean, the only thing I can say is
that's what the argument is, though. You know,
that is
people
exactly
think
that is the argument. The only team they lost to was the team ahead of them. When the teams, the other one-loss teams, lost the teams below them. So, I mean, I really don't have a problem with it. I thought what initially bothered me is I'm like, yo, they just beat Alabama, and if Alabama beats them, Alabama's the champion. So basically, it just matters when you play, not who you play, but when you play them.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you see it in sports all the time. Like, you see the Steelers and Ravens beat on each other in the regular season. And then in the playoffs, it seems like a team that won the regular season matchup doesn't win. So it happens in other sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to beat a team twice in one season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This could be a pretty good match.
Let's say Alabama wins a close game. Are we really sure they're the better team, considering that that would have mean they had two close games and each team has gotten a
well, we don't really know who's the best team. I mean, we don't have a playoff system. I mean, even when you have a playoff system, it's not even really about who's the better team. It's who's playing better at the time. So,
exactly.
I don't know. But I would like to see some sort of playoff, because right now the SEC has such a great reputation that, you know, the system takes that into account. And I think to a lot of people who have a problem with the BCS, they think that the system takes that into account too much instead of, you know, just breaking down and having a playoff. How long is that going to go on?
It's definitely skewed in favor. It's skewed in favor of the SEC. It's definitely skewed in favor of the SEC.
I mean, because they play each other. So if they have considered which a great program, they play each other. But my thing is, you want to really get serious, let's put their GPAs within the calculation and see where they go.
Yo, you know how many of them dudes' GPAs you got to put together to get Pujols' contract? Oh. You probably put the whole conference and you're still short by like a few hundred million. But all right, so that's going to be the national title game. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because it'll probably be a good game, even though the first one was like a struggle. But I would
Wise
like to
Penn
see.
State.
Huh? Who?
Why isn't Penn State in a real bowl?
Come on, cuz.
Because you know why. Heisman candidates. We got five guys are going to be in New York this weekend, sitting there waiting to hear their name called, hoping that their name called. And the candidates are Trent Richardson, running back from Alabama, Robert Griffin III, RG3, from QB from Baylor, Tyrann Mathieu, defensive back from LSU, Monty Ball, running back from Wisconsin, and Andrew Luck, quarterback from Stanford. Anybody want to make a prediction here?
Yo, I don't think they're going to give it to Luck. I think they're going to go to RG3.
Nah, I don't think they would give it to Luck either. I mean, this is one of those things like we kind of alluded to before. Luck is probably, you know, consensus the best player in college. But when they say that, I think they, you know, they're basically talking about he's NFL ready. But he didn't have the best college season, so that's what the Heisman is all about. So I don't think they could really give him the Heisman and really justify it. I mean, he had a great season.
Just because we said that, that's what they're going to do.
I know. I mean, he had a great season. He had, what, 37 touchdowns?
I watched.
Touchdowns rushing.
Dev and I watched a Stanford game.
He ain't throwing him much.
He is balling with no one. Yo, he's the best receiver. He's the best receiver on the offense. Yo,
best receiver on offense.
Yo, his receivers, it's like he's balling with some handicapped dudes with no hands.
So what's the right end like the Colts?
They are terrible.
So you making a pick, Austin?
I'm gonna go outside the box. I'm gonna say Richardson. I don't know if I really believe that. I know Luck isn't getting it because, as you say, he hasn't had the best season, and I think your team kind of comes into account, and his squad is putrid on offense.
Yeah, well, with Trent Richardson's case, even in the game that they lost to LSU, he still went for like 169 yards. So, you know, that's something in his favor. Like, even when the team wasn't doing too well, basically, you know, he was still doing his thing to try to carry the load.
Ingram was good. He was a good college player. I think he's going to be a okay to good pro. Yo, he ain't got nothing on Richardson, man.
Hey, you saw Richardson was
he ain't got nothing on Richardson,
digging into his carries when he was there.
Yo,
but
Richardson,
if he does
win another,
Richardson
is another type of human being. He's not the same type of human.
Yeah, if he wins,
Richardson
deadlifts
city blocks.
Okay.
I said Richardson deadlifts city blocks. He's a straight manimal. That dude, mad strong. His upper body strength is ridiculous for a running back, cuz.
Yeah. If he wins this, then, you know, Alabama's going to be on a roll. Because, you know, they've never had a Heisman winner before Richardson. And if you know, he wins it now, they're going to have two in the last 3 years. So we'll see how that plays out.
I think there's a lot of buzz behind RG3, too. A little bit of a buzz. One, because pretty much this past weekend, he did enough to win it in a post-game interview. But I think because he's doing it with Flash, that he may. I still think Andrew Luck is a better quarterback than him. But
he's going to get the protectionist vote. The protectionist party.
RG, yeah.
The protectionist party is going to come out and
How many BPs get a vote, though?
Speaking of RG3, some people actually think that he's a better prospect than Luck overall, and some would, like, jump out there and take RG3 first.
I've heard that.
Now, the thing, he is pretty pure as far as passing goes, and, you know, he runs like a sprinter, but we've heard that before. We've heard that a lot.
We've seen it. We see it every Sunday.
You got one of them monkeys down on Broad and Patterson.
Yeah, you're right. But let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got Tony calling from Maryland. Tony, what's up? You're in the war room.
What's up, fellas? How you doing? It's Tony Murray. How you doing?
What's going on?
What's up, Tony?
Tony.
Ain't you in the house?
Ain't you in the house? What's up?
Shout out to the funny bunch of guys.
Ah, here we go. So, Mike, Brad got jokes? Is that Brad? Yeah.
What's on your mind,
T? Talk about the BCS. I would much rather see LSU play a team like Oklahoma State that has some offense. The first two times these teams played, it's all about defense and special teams. You don't want to see that when it's the last game of the season when everything's going to line. I don't want to see a defensive battle. I want to see points. I want to see a high-powered offense against a high-powered defense. You know, you'd much rather see that than to see Alabama in there again. So what happens if Alabama wins? Do you give LSU a share of the national title?
Yeah, see, that's that fine line, that little crazy place that they go in college sports. I'm thinking if you put the two teams in a game and, you know, one of them wins, then there shouldn't be a share, you know, anything like that. But I feel you with the whole defensive thing. Because the first game wasn't that great to watch. And when you watch it, the only thing I can say is the national championship somehow always finds a way to become exciting. So, you know, it really hasn't let us down.
What has Alabama won this year? They didn't win their conference. They didn't win their division. Oklahoma State won their conference title.
True.
But yet they justify putting Alabama in the title game.
That's a good point.
It's something to think about. And I'm enjoying the show, fellas. Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks for your call, Tom. No doubt.
Thanks, good brother.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of sentiment out there for Oklahoma State. A lot of people think that they should have gotten a shot, you know, instead of Alabama. I guess we didn't have our college experts in here all season, so we didn't really talk much about any of this. And I'm seeing the reports now too, Jimmy, about the Chris Paul trade. So speaking of that, this is where we were going to actually talk about a little bit of the rumors for Dwight Howard and Chris Paul to the Lakers. So okay, Chris Paul has been traded to the Lakers as a part of a three-team deal. As we get the details, the exact details, we'll share them with you. Jimmy already told you guys a little bit of what happened. So what's next? What's up with Dwight Howard? You guys think they can pull this off? Because Orlando, all they really need is Andrew Bynum.
I'd like to say that Vanessa Bryant is running an organization because once they had problems with Powell, you knew he was out of
gone.
There anyway.
Gone.
But you know, it's crazy.
This trade is a vote of confidence for what they feel Andrew Bynum is and can be. So what I see is they're winning.
Why do you say that?
I don't think they're finished, though.
They're talking about him going to Orlando. They're still talking to Orlando. They're going to work that out.
Well, I mean, that's one of those situations where if you can get the better player, because Dwight is obviously the better player, then you go for it. If that's what Orlando will take and you can match the salaries and make it work, of course. But how likely is it that they'll be able to pull that off and get Dwight, because that's you know, I don't know. I don't know what type of money they're going to spend under the new collective bargaining agreement and what type of supporting talent you're going to have. So for me, I'm looking at it as the more realistic scenario is now you've got Paul, you've got Kobe, you keep buying them, you have, you know, Lamar, you fill in with a pretty solid rebounder.
This is what they're going to do. They're going to get Dwight.
They're getting Dwight.
They're going to sign Juwan Howard, Mike Bibby, Eddie House, and Jamal McGlure.
All from the Heat. But, no, I think Bynum's next. I think they're going to find a way to get Dwight Howard while keeping Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom will move up to start at the four because he could have done that, you know, a long time ago. He's still one of the top five players on that team when he wasn't starting. So, I don't know. I don't think they're done. So if they're not done and they do get Dwight Howard, who do you guys think has the better pick three, the Lakers or the Miami Heat? If they get Dwight Howard,
if we're talking about three, Kobe and I would go. I think they have more of a balanced three. Whereas I think that like D Wade and LeBron are the same player. Minus a little bit more blood being pumped through your system and a little bit taller, a bigger heart in Dwayne Wade. But anyway, I think when you got CP3, you know, like a kind of in the mold of a pure point guard with Kobe, the best player in the league, and then you got the most dominant big man in the league, I think it's a more balanced big three, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's funny. It's funny
three different positions,
that way.
You know what I mean?
It's funny you say it that way because even though Bosch is a big man, he's really kind of a tweener 4-3 type dude. So the way that Bron and D Wade play, it really takes away from Bosch. So you've really got three guys that do a lot of the same things and demand the ball versus Chris Paul, who probably will defer on the scoring side quite a bit.
Hey, Dev, I was talking to Mike Jordan on Twitter about this, and he said that
he was talking about the big three.
No, not that Mike Jordan. Philly's Mike Jordan. He was saying that Miami's big three is better if they was playing in Hoop It Up. He said they played in Hoop It Up with nobody.
That's true.
But under the whistle, under a controlled game.
Exactly.
I don't know. Reese, Justin, Devin, and Mike. Oh.
The Lakers have more balance in terms of Chris Paul is going to be the PG, do his thing, distribute the rock, hit the three when it's open, drive dish. Howard's going to play D. He may go through some possessions without touching it, but then, you know, he'll get put back. Kobe's going to be the closer no matter what, so you don't have that Wade LeBron, like, who's the closer type deal. So everybody's going to fit in, and then you have two players.
The Heat don't really have that issue either, though, Kill. The Heat don't have an issue with who to close.
They were trying to force feed LeBron at the end of the season, and he kept messing up. But then they went back to Wade, remember?
He's giving it back.
LeBron was running off that block. He said, that block is hot. I'm running.
Here's a question for you guys. Do you think Chris Paul re-signs in L.A.? Because, you know, it's no secret that he wanted to get to New York. Do you guys think he re-signs in L.A.?
I think so.
All right, here's my opinion. I don't think he would if they don't get Dwight Howard. Because you got to think about it. Him and his agent will be sitting there thinking to themselves, well, you know, I'm here, you know, Kobe's here, but how long is Kobe going to be here? So if he leaves, there's no telling how long it's going to take for this team to regenerate. And though I'm in a big market and I can get my money up, you know, I might be out here not by myself, but it still may be a situation where I can't compete with the rest of the league because everybody's super teaming up.
Yeah,
now, if Dwight comes,
he don't want to end up
I don't think he cares how long
like
Kobe plays. Because if Dwight comes, he probably thinks to himself, we win the chip this year. Kobe can retire whenever, and I still got Dwight. And, you know, it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends on that part.
And, I mean, I'm playing for the sexiest team in the league that everybody want to play for anyway. So
exactly.
Super teamers are probably going to want to come there anyway, even when Kobe leaves.
That's the truth. He could get people to come super team with him. But, you know, him and Melo and Amari have been like, yeah, he and Melo and Amari have been like butt buddies for the last year, though. They're going to think he sold them out. But, hey, he didn't know he's
yeah,
going to L.A.
I mean,
they can't win New York.
They let Shannon Brown walk too. Shannon Brown signed up with Phoenix, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you're right, Gil. Like, that squad in New York, I mean, I don't see him really winning consistently with that squad. I mean, I see him putting even if CP3 is out there.
So you're saying the Knicks ain't back? The Knicks ain't back?
No, they ain't all the way back. Because, yo, you got the two non-defensive players, threes and fours, although they are great offensively, the most non-defensive coach, and then you bring in CP3. If anything, he'll be frustrated.
Oh,
they'll get like 6-4 wins, and he'll be frustrated.
But the Knicks, if they haven't pulled it yet, they're like 5 minutes away from signing Tyson Chandler. So they're shoring up the basket a little bit because they know that the, you know, their front line is pretty weak up there. So that's a pretty good pickup because I think he cleaned up a lot of things in Dallas and actually made them look like a better defensive team than they actually were.
I agree.
So I think that's a great pickup for the Knicks.
The more impressive thing I see with Tyson Chandler did is that he's light-skinned and he brought intimidation with him. So
Yo, why do you think Mark Cuban let Tyson Chandler walk?
To get Dwight Howard. The talk is the Mavs want to kind of throw in this season. They don't want to overpay. So in 2012, they'd be under the cap and sign guys like Dwight Howard or whoever else to go with Dirk.
Yo, Dwight Howard is so sought after.
I know. He literally could play in any NBA city he feels like. I mean, it's like a LeBron situation, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to hold an hour special to let us know. If he even gets the free agent.
And while you at that, man, shout out to Albert Pujols for not doing the same, man.
All the money he got doing
Albert,
that three-hour special.
Shout out to Albert for getting way more money.
Yo, Albert should have, with the kind of money he got, he should have done like a three-hour variety show. Jiving.
When them Cedric the Entertainer presents type Jones, the Albert Pujols presents on Telemundo.
So before we move on, because we should be getting our guest on the line pretty soon here, we just wanted to let you guys know about a couple of campaigns that War Room Sports that we're participating in right now. Jimmy actually told you guys about the Bring Back Big Shot campaign we got going on. It's a joint petition sponsored by us here in the War Room and the fellas over on the Broad Street line, Roy and Chris. It's been catching on like wildfire. You know, we've been getting a lot of people contacting us about it. The only thing is, I think it's more people actually sharing the petition than are signing the petition. So people don't forget. We just don't need you to share it. We need you to sign it first and then pass it on. So, you know, if you're a Philly Sixers fan and you're feeling a little nostalgic and you're tired of all this hip hop and this moose and this dog that they're trying to bring in as the new mascot, just check out the petition because we want to bring Big Shot back because there hasn't been entertainment in the Wells Fargo Center since the Spectrum days with Big Shot. There hasn't been entertainment like that. Jimmy, I saw you posted the video the other day when Big Shot was doing the Michael Jackson impersonation.
Come on, man. Nothing's better than that, man.
How they going to try to make Scooby-Doo a mascot, though? They actually entertaining Scooby-Doo being a mascot. Come on, man.
Yo, do any of y'all know what Big Shot is? PJ, what the hell is Big Shot anyway? Is he like a dinosaur or something? Like, what is...
Big Shot is an animal from the prehistoric days. He's a leftover dinosaur, like, prey or something. I don't know, man. He's like, he has he's a Muppet, I think, actually.
He's a big Muppet dinosaur looking thing with a receding hairline. His hair, like, he got like a George Jefferson sitting right in the middle of his head.
Yeah,
hair
muff.
I definitely don't know what he is. But yo,
To sign that petition and to spread it, just go to our website, warroomsports.com, and it's the first flash ad that you see when the page comes up. So just click on that. It'll take you right to the petition. Sign it. Spread it around to all your Philadelphia fans. Even if you're not a Philly fan, just help us out. You know, this is a national show, but this, you know, we're taking this back to the home front because this is something that we feel strongly about, even though it's just a mascot.
If y'all knew some of the people contacting us about this whole petition, y'all be like, "Get out of here!" But you know, it is what it is.
Exactly. We had someone. You could tell them, Jim.
ESPN and a couple of the other major networks are like hitting us up for quotes, and they want to talk about the petition. So, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's a good thing, but
we were actually expecting. We were expecting to be in a page 2 article on ESPN today. We still haven't seen it as of yet, so I think we got the shaft on that one. So, you know, we're going to keep looking out for it.
But anyway, it is.
We're going to keep looking out for it. But the last one, now this one is a little different because we're not leading the charge on this. As a matter of fact, if we take the consensus in the war room, we might not even agree with this one. But, hey, publicity and promotion is publicity and promotion. We have a fan of ours who's getting together a Fire Andy Reid campaign. We can't tell you exactly what he's doing because we don't want it to leak to the organization. But if you want to get involved, for all the people who call in here or email us or on the Facebook page saying, "Fire Andy, put your money where your mouth is," just send us an email to info@warroomsports.com. Ask about the Fire Andy campaign, and we'll give you all the details, and you can see if you can help out.
And on top of that, we're going to reach out to Rich Kotite to see if he wants to come back.
Let's move forward. Let's move forward real quick. Hey, you just want to jump right into it or what?
We can do that. Let me tell them real quick. I'll be real quick on this one. I'm going to tell everybody how they can get in contact with us, and then Jimmy can bring on our special guest for the night. You can check our website. Again, at warroomsports.com, while you're there, sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click on the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Best blog in the business. Then click the representative icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to your Android or Apple devices, and to watch your YouTube videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join that chat room right now if you want to get a word in with our guest when he comes on. It's blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom to get in there. Just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're in there, make sure you click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows. All right, so we're going to be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room. So, and if you want to call in and talk to us, that Digital Extreme Tech hotline is 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. If you raise your hand long enough, we might notice you, and we might get you on the air. So, Jimmy, you got it, homie.
No doubt. So, basically, what Dev was saying is, if you Google War Room Sports, you'll find us.
If that don't work,
check your girlfriend's smartphone, and she probably got our app. Anyway.
Or text message.
What's up, y'all? It's time to get into this hip-hop and sports segment we got going on here. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows that the War Room is huge hip-hop fans as well as sports, so we try to reach out to up and comers, you know, before they make it big and won't come on our show. No, I'm just joking. But with that being said, our guest tonight is one of the hottest producers in hip hop, and he's currently nominated as the best producer in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Hip Hop Awards. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in our guest and let him tell you more about himself.
Wes
Manchild, what's happening, homie?
What's going on? What's going on, fellas? Good to be in the war room, you know, the war report. I'm going crazy because I'm looking at this whole Chris Paul trade situation on ESPN right now.
Oh, yes.
Before we get into about you, what do you think about the trade since you brought it up?
I mean, I think it's a good deal, but from what I'm seeing, the Lakers are giving up with Paul Gasol is going to the Rockets and Lamar Odom is going to Houston. Yeah, that's what they're saying. So if you're just going to be Andrew Bynum, I mean, with his injury problems, you're going to be real depleted down low. So, I mean, now everybody's saying they're trying to get Dwight Howard. So I don't know how that's going to work out. If they pull that off, then it's real in L.A.
Odom is gone. So if Odom's gone, they definitely got to make that move and try to get Dwight Howard in there.
Kobe and Chris Paul
not doing that by themselves.
not at all. Especially with these, you know, all these games in a week with this schedule. Kobe, I don't know if his knee's going to be able to hold up these old teams. It's going to be hard for them with this condensed schedule. So,
No doubt. Let's get into it. The first question I want to ask you is, how long have you been producing, and what made you want to make your living as a producer? Like, did you ever want to be a rapper? You know, everybody wants to rap, but what made you go to the other side of the, other side of the microphone?
With Jimmy, you know, from way back, I've always, you know, been in the music. You know, we go back back in the days. So I've always been into it. And then when I went to college, my roommates and best friends were DJs. Y'all know DJ Drama and DJ Sense, both from Philly. And Philly is those, you know, my peoples. So I was always around them, and I used to DJ, you know, dab a little bit, but I always had that ear for music. But, you know, I had the money to get an MP and no equipment back then, but I was always around it. And so I always had an ear for music. Like, people always ask me certain things, and that's, you know, what I was into. And I just, you know, when they went to software, when you start doing stuff on software, I, you know, downloaded a couple of programs, started getting into it. And I guess, you know, for me being such a music head, it just came easy to me because I always had an ear for samples and everything. I just never had the means to put it out there. So,
no doubt.
Wes, this is Dev. You have an ear for samples because I've been listening to a lot of your tracks over the past few days, and some of those samples are crazy. We opened the show tonight with the Price is Right joint. The Price is Right. first of all, Price is Right. When I'm home on my Lazy John, that's one of my favorite shows. So I got hype when I heard that. But I want to ask you, and this is the war room, so you can be completely candid. You can say what you want in here. You know, just keep it clean, language clean. But what do you think about the current state of hip hop?
It's a hard question because a lot of people, especially from, like, my age and our era, are quick to say, oh, man, this new hip-hop is terrible, it ain't this and ain't that, and there's no good music out. When I hear a lot of people constantly complain about it not being no good music out, I kind of always laugh because there's a lot of good music out. The problem is the powers that be, the labels, the video stations, and all that other stuff don't play a lot of good music. But with the internet nowadays, it's kind of like if you want to hear good music, you just can't be lazy. They're not going to force feed it to you. You got to go out and find it. Like, it's underground. Again, you have to dig under to get it. So there's a lot of good music out there, even locally. Like, there's a lot of good local music, but a lot of people who are, you know, as internet savvy, not up on stuff, just don't go and, you know, find it. But I mean, with the music climate, with the money, you know, with the digital downloads, I mean, the internet has changed music so much for the good and for the bad because nobody's really making money off record sales anymore. So a lot of these labels are scared, A&Rs are scared to actually put out artists who take a chance. They just want to try to hop on the next big fad, the next big hype thing. And that's why you have a lot of the mainstream music is really not as good as it was. So
see, here in the war room, Jimmy is like our underground Tower Records. So he brings all the hotness to it. Because the stuff, like you said, the stuff that you hear on mainstream, now, it's not you guys. It's not the producers. Because if you're looking for just good music, you know, production is in a great state right now. It's just what you have rhyming over these great beats is, like, wasting a lot of these great beats. So,
you're not into that new Gucci man, homie?
You know the crazy thing about that? For me, I went to school down in Atlanta, so when I was down in the late 90s, when the South was first started coming up, that was kind of a transition period, so I remember, I was down there with No Limit, Bubble, Pastor Troy, and all that type of stuff, so I love South music because it reminded me of the time when I was down there at those crazy parties, so I go back to Atlanta all the time, so I was kind of on Gucci before a lot of people. It is what it is. But I always laugh with a lot of people up top and up north who just hop on the bandwagon of stuff because they think, oh, man, that's hot, that's hot. Like, everybody was hype on Gucci. Now nobody talks about Gucci anymore. Now everybody's all 2 Chainz out of nowhere.
You made a really good point, though, because that's what music does. It's like the best time stamp out there. You know, if it's something that was happening in your life at a certain time, whatever music was out at that time, you know, it makes you a little nostalgic about what you were doing at the time. So I feel you on that.
I
thought PJ, you have a question?
Oh, yeah. Wes, this is PJ. You mentioned DJ Drama earlier. What's going on? I know you mentioned DJ Drama earlier. What other up-and-coming or notable, like, rappers and producers have you worked with?
The main artist that a lot of people know me for from last year, of course, is Chill Moody. The West Chili Project, which got, a lot of critical acclaim and, kind of helped put us both out there. That's one of the main ones. Another kid I worked with last year, this kid named Dosage. He actually just was on Lupe's mixtape. He was actually toured with Lupe for last year. He's actually coming out of Philly. A lot of people, don't really know about him as much, but he's probably one of those people out of Philly who are probably going to blow up. I did a track for Neef from Young Guns, Neef Buck, on his last mixtape. So there's a couple of people. Then, of course, I got my, team I deal with, Boogeyman Della, Antoine Davis, who actually got projects coming out soon, but, about to get stuff popping with them, so. And I'm in the talks with, other people about the work with some people and some stuff, so it's a lot of stuff out there.
Cool. That's what's up.
Wes, what up?
Or
Brad.
What up?
A Hot Block Commander. I got bars for you. I need some tracks early.
You think you back to 2002 with the early, huh?
Early. I'm old school. Listen, fam, how does it feel being nominated Best Producer at the upcoming Philly Hip Hop Awards? And I guess what do you think your chances are to actually bring it home?
To keep it real, Ja Little Beats is nominated in that category, so nobody else really has a chance of winning. Just to keep it 100, this dude, I'm a boss, is like the song that they play at clubs around the country at 12 o'clock at midnight. Like, that's the highlight song. So, plus he just signed with Rock Nation. So, he's buzzing.
Yeah, I heard
that. But just to be, nominated in that, it's an honor. It basically lets you know that people out there paying attention, they see what I'm doing. Because, before that, I saw they were doing awards. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I really ain't think that much about it. But when you are nominated for stuff, it's just basically validation that people noticing what you're doing. So that's cool.
Yeah. I got a quick question for you. Funny because, I talk hip-hop every day on Twitter to people and everything. And one thing I notice is, people act like you can't be a Jay-Z fan and a Nas fan, and you can't be a Biggie fan and a Pac fan. So I'm just going to ask you, are you a Jay-Z guy or a Nas guy, and are you a Pac guy or a Big guy?
Well, Jim, you remember way back in the days. I remember when
Illmatic came out. I remember that.
I was about to say, you used to quote Nas rhymes all the time, so back and forth. So I was always a huge Nas fan, but I was always a big Jay fan, too, because I was one of the few people, a lot of people from the era don't realize that a lot of people in Philly wasn't really messing with Jay when he first came out. I was one of the few people who had reasonable doubt.
All of us, all of us here on the War Room, we feel the same way you like. You know what I mean? We all love the early Jay before he became a Hov. We put it like
yeah,
this.
I'm
we
a
like
Jigga
Jay-Z,
fan.
We don't like Hov.
I'm a Jigga
we
fan.
Like
I ain't Jay-Z, a
Hov. We don't like Hov.
Yeah, we don't mess with him. Yeah, that blasphemous dude. We don't mess with him.
The blasphemy. I give you my whole opinion on Jay. You know, Reasonable Doubt loved it. Volume 1, I had some little issues with it. The banging tracks, I liked the ones I did. Volume 2 and 3, I hate it because that was that whole Jiggy Swiss.
Yeah, that's when he started going.
You sound like us, fam. You sound like us.
But
you give you a Jay-Z timeline.
Yeah, I hated that whole sound, like that late night, like late 90s when I was in school. I was like, raucous style, like real hip hop stuff. So I hated that whole Jiggy type sound. But then when, you know, with Blueprint and Black album, he came back. So, you know, I dealt with that. So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of give or take. I just respect Jay got, you know, classics upon classics. But it feels it. I wasn't a fan of him in the late 90s. But as far as the Biggie and Pac thing, I was a Biggie person. I'm not going to sit up here in front. Like, oh, I'm a Pac fan because I wasn't back in the day, and a lot of people do, hindsight. But I remember back in the mid-90s, people weren't messing with Pac. People was all Biggie down on the East Coast. But, you know, after he died, it's like the cliche thing to do, to say I was listening to Pac,
never
but they weren't.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess hindsight is 20/20, and as you gain some maturity and perspective, it's art. So you can go back and you can listen and you can appreciate some of the things that thematically you can appreciate Pac, even if his lyrical wordplay and skill wasn't, you know, on par with some of his contemporaries.
Hey, B. Austin, stop trying to clear it up. Pac is trash. Let's move on.
Yo, listen, we was recently at an engagement and Jimmy just stopped the whole room and said Pac is trash. Yo, we had to take it back in the day and we was rumbling to get out of there.
Yo, we got somebody on our Facebook page.
They ready to fight for him. But anyway,
Manuel on our Facebook page, Jimmy said, Hov has never made a bad album except Kingdom Come.
Did they listen to Are You Free?
I'm not even gonna comment on them, man. I'm gonna talk to him after the show on Facebook. I'm gonna do with him after the show. But let me ask you a question, Wes, about sports.
Yeah,
you know that you're a big soccer fan. You know you're a big soccer fan. We can't think of anything to talk about because none of us really watch soccer.
I'll explain it because you don't know how much flack I get from everybody about this. All right. The whole thing started. First, I'm going to give you the background. I went over to London like around 04. I was over there. Me and my boys, we went over there, you know, European thing for New Year's. I was stuck over there for like 8 days. It was cool. There was nothing on TV for me to watch. So I was like, dang, I need to watch something on TV at the hotel. So, bang, soccer games was on. Now, I knew about certain teams like the Manchester United and all the Beckham from way back in the 90s. But I was over there. I started watching them, and I seen Team Arsenal play. And, you know, most of us over here, we associate soccer with being a suburban white sport for the most part, because that's how it is here. It's not like that everywhere else in the world. But I saw Arsenal. I just saw all these regular black dudes who look like they're from around the way playing, and they was doing moves, and, like, it was hot. So, in the book here, I was my favorite play all the time. I got into it, and then when I came back, I had DirecTV, and they had the Fox Soccer Channel, so I started just tuning in, and from then on, I became a diehard Arsenal fan, and I found out I'd be going to the pubs downtown for those. We got all cool people from Philly who watch it. They're called the Philly Gooners. Like, it's serious.
It's funny. It's funny that you mentioned that. This is B. My wife is Ghanaian, and so this World Cup, Ghana was like the last African team left in the pool. And
it was pop.
I found myself really, like, into it and watching it. It really is a great sport. But coming up, you know, when you grow up, like, as you say, it's a suburban sport. And so you don't really have that appreciation. You're one of the few people that I know besides myself that has picked it up as an adult and really said, all right, let me learn this and kind of get a feel for it. It really is a great sport. It's a great sport.
Yeah. And
I jump on the bandwagon.
Why do you think it hasn't picked up over here like it does in other countries? What's your opinion on that?
Well, because when it has happened, it's starting to pick up a lot more now. Like, actually, like January 22nd, my team, also they playing Manchester United on Fox. Regular channel 29, they broadcasting that game. It's the first time ever, like, national TV will be broadcast. So it's starting to pick up now. But because growing up, we couldn't see the leagues in Europe. Like, American MLS, even though we have the Philly Union now, went to a couple of their games. The games are hype when you're there in person, but American soccer is terrible watching it because it's just, it's like comparing it's like watching European basketball to the NBA. It's just not the same. So when you watch those European leagues, like the English league, it's a whole nother level. So now with satellite TV, you can watch, the games come on Saturday morning on ESPN2, you can watch it on Fox Soccer. So it's just more accessibility. And now with the younger generation, it's starting to blow up, like a lot more teenagers, college people, and a more immigrants into this country, of course, that helps too. So it's blowing up now.
About that. That's what's up. Well, yeah. Who do you root for in the four major sports? The four major sports over here. Who are your teams there?
Well, for the most part, I'm kind of a homer. I mean, I mess with, you know, with the Phillies, the Flyers. When I do, I only like playoff hockey. I ain't gonna sit in front like I watch it all year. But playoff hockey is the truth. The Sixers, when they do all right, I look out for them. But I'm just a basketball fan in general. So, and plus, I don't got Comcast, so I got DirecTV, so I can't watch Sixers games anyway, so I'm not missing nothing. But I got the NBA ticket, so I mean, season pass, so I watch all the other games. As far as football, I mean, I'm a Denver and the Eagles fan. Growing up, I was a diehard Elway fan when I played quarterback at number seven.
Just like me.
So I'm a diehard Elway fan, Denver Bronco fan. But I mess with the Eagles, but I always hated their offense. I loved the Bunny Ryan's defense, but I was an offensive person, and I never liked the offense. I really didn't start riding with the Eagles again, so I left and went to college, and I was in Atlanta. And then when they drafted Donovan, you know, you're away, you kind of get that homesick thing. And then all the directions, so I started going with them. And I went to a couple of games in Atlanta where we were louder than that fraud city. Don't get me started on them. But that fraud
city. They got a pink stadium, man. They got a pink dome.
Atlanta is the worst sports city in America. I tell
you. You brought up another question. You really think Atlanta?
I don't know.
It
might be Miami, though. Might be Miami.
I'm about to say, you think it was in Miami? Because Miami is fraud.
But at least Miami has
the Heat. Didn't even sell out every game last year.
Yeah, I mean, Miami's a fraud. Miami's a tourist town, though. You expect that from Miami. Atlanta just has so many transplants that it's just people, like when I was there in school.
Wes, you said they have so many transvestites.
They have that too.
Because them type of folks that they're popular for now, they're not really into sports. I'm sorry. My bad.
I mean, you know Gilbert and Vince got caught up in those clubs down there a couple of times. So, you know, some athletes do.
Vince is sweet and Gilbert's weird.
Yeah, Gilbert was cool down there. People said they saw him at Bulldogs down there. If your name is Bulldogs, it's not a good look. So, but anyway, but I mess with the Eagles, but I'm jaded with the Eagles because the last game at the Vet, after that Tampa Bay loss, that kind of felt like a punch to the stomach. And ever since then, I mess with them. 2002 was the Rams. 2003 was the Tampa Bay. But ever since then, like, I go in with them, but I expect the worst. And that's what it is.
So you became a typical Philadelphian.
Yeah.
I look at them objectively because I expect them to mess up because it's a you know, repeat pattern.
Right. So speaking of the Eagles, Wes, what do you think of the debacle this season? Like, with all the expectations that they had, and in your opinion, should Andy Reid be fired?
Yep. He should have been fired last year, man. This guy is still. When he hired Juan Castillo, I told people it's a wrap. Why, if people really downplayed that, I said, how you got rid of Sean McDermott? I mean, bear in mind the defense wasn't balling. But a lot of that goes on updrafted defensive players. If you look at the defensive players they drafted, it's terrible. The only two good players they drafted in the last 4 years was Macklin and McCoy, and those are offensive guys. So
I think McDermott should have got more of a chance strictly because he's from the Jim Johnson tree. I mean,
yeah,
give him a chance. Maybe he learned something. It's not going to happen in 1 year. So,
but you got to think of the logic. You get rid of a guy who actually was in defense. I hired an offensive line coach to play, coach your defense. Like, come on, dog. Like, that was just ridiculous. And, yeah, I mean, it shows.
Maybe we can get Ray Rose back, man.
Man, I'm cool on that. That's right. Maybe you could get him to bring back Bobby Horn and Robbie Dean and all those guys, too, huh?
There you go.
Or maybe we'll get Rob Ryan to be the new Buddy Ryan.
That's who they should have got. They should have went out and got Rob Ryan before, you know, he went to Dallas. But
well,
we don't pay like Dallas. Really?
We gotta get it to hoops. We gotta get it to basketball because I know you're a big hoops fan. I mean, you're from the crib, so that's a natural thing. What were your thoughts of the lockout? Whose side did you fall on, and what do you think of the outcome?
I mean, I really didn't fall on either side. I mean, because you know it's the whole billionaires versus millionaires argument, so. I think it was needed because that system that they had in place, was broken for the most part. I mean, it's like the have-nots, the teams that would go and make up monies, but the Sacramentos, the Minnesotas, the Milwaukee Bucks, like nobody's really going to see them. So the system it was just out of whack, and they need to do something to fix it with these deals. Anytime you got a system, remember, like, Vin Baker was getting paid millions, and he was somewhere in Hartford drinking. Like, it makes no sense. And the key was getting checks from like three different teams at one point. So,
but the thing is, all the financial problems that they had with the system, I don't really see anything that they did necessarily to address that. Because I think the contracts are going to be even worse this year than they were before the lockout.
Yeah, it's still. I thought it was going to be more drastic changes, but it's. They're probably going to lock out again in another, you know, I mean, whenever the next CBA is up. I mean, it is what it
is.
It's
a 10-year, and they can opt out after 7. So I guarantee they're going to opt out after 7.
Yeah, but
just because people were losing money and it was just time to play. I think that's why they came to the table.
And the way it is now with all these super teams and everything they're trying to do, it's kind of like you have to get bad in order to, like, terribly bad and luck over the top pick to actually do some NBA. I mean, you can have a team full of good guys, but if you have good players, you don't have that star play, you're only going to go but so far. And, I mean, now with the players controlling or trying to make all these super teams, who knows where it's going to go.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 good teams in the league, and everybody else is going to make you mad that you got the NBA season pass.
Everybody to go to the Wells Fargo to see those 5 teams.
Right. And plus, those 5 teams are going to be on TV every weekend, so your season pass is going to be a waste of money. But this is we're going to get you out of here on this. Well, before we let you promote anything that you're doing, we're going to get you out of here on some predictions. We got 2 simple questions for you. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? And since we're talking hoops, who do you think is going to win the NBA Finals this year? Even though all the, you know, the deals and trades haven't gone on yet, but how it stands now, who do you think is going to win the Finals in the Super Bowl?
Well, Super Bowl is going to be the dream quarterback matchup, I think. Well, I want it to be, but I don't know. Baltimore might have a say in that. But I want it to be Aaron Rodgers versus Brady, but I think Green Bay is going to win because Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his damn mind right about now.
Balling.
The passes he's throwing, I've never seen anybody throw on a run that accurately. It's ridiculous. Like, it's really like watching Madden, somebody, like, just with the cheat codes. as far as basketball, I actually think Miami's going to do it. I mean, they did sign Battier, who at least can, you know, help with some of the three-point shooting defending. But just that talent, them being back together, I think they are going through it. I actually don't think the Lakers are going to go, though, and everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon. Now, if they get Dwight Howard, they will. But if not, I'm going to go Oklahoma City. If that's if you
that's
know
why,
Westbrook.
That's why I asked you for now.
In his mind.
if some big trades happen, we'll make sure we get your opinion again so people won't be like, you know, what was he talking about? So we'll definitely make sure we ask you again if any more big trades go down. So that's
No doubt. Anyway, before you go, tell everybody the current projects you're working on. I know you said you had an album dropping in January.
Yeah, it's a couple of things. First, as far as, well, next week will be 1 year since we dropped West Chili. So this week, Chill Moody actually put out the acapellas for producers to try to go in on. Next Tuesday, I'm dropping all the instrumentals that I did from the album. So I dropped that on December 13th. So, you know, people, if they want to spit, you know, I dropped the download link. Like you said, yeah, bars, just go in on them, you know, and email me what you got. If they throw, you know, it is what it is, post them up. But just if you, I mean, just giving them out. Me and Antoine Davis, we doing a tribute, Anita Baker tribute album coming out January 26th. I did it already with Michael Jackson. I'm trying to do an actual series of these. But I basically took all of Anita Baker's songs, chopped them up, sampled, and we're going to have probably like around 12 songs of that. What else? Got a project coming out. Let's do SK from Uptown, SK Philly. That'll be out probably in March. And it's on Davis Established. I did like 11 tracks on there. My man Boogie Mandela got his Dirty Harmony. I did like 10 tracks on there. And Anita's cover is deluxe. Hi.
I said, so you sound like you working, man.
Yeah, and also me and my man Riz Deluxe, we another producer, we just came up with an idea, we're going to do that, we're going to do a Philly International-based project where we're going to chop up all the stuff for Philly International and do that.
Come on, man.
So.
Oh, that'll be sick. But my question is, when you make these instrumentals and put them out, aren't you worried about some whack MCs, like, taking your beats and doing something with it?
I mean, well, with the West Chili joint, with the instrumentals, I mean, people already know the album is there. So it's a reference point with that. The project has already been out for a while, so it's not like there are new beats I'm putting out and somebody's, you know, going to go
and
put some terrible bars. So it is what it is. I mean,
hey,
sometimes
Jimmy, right,
I might do some crazy stuff.
I was going to use a West beat and just freestyle our intro tonight. And I'm definitely a whack MC. I'm definitely a whack MC, so that would account for that.
Well, give everybody your Twitter handle on your SoundCloud before we get you out of here so they can check out your work.
Twitter is West Manchild. You know, it's not West with a T. It's just West, like Wesley. WESMANCHILD. SoundCloud is West Manchild. Everything is. I mean, I got a YouTube page. I don't got a whole bunch of stuff on it, but I actually got links to favorites to a lot of stuff I did. Even if you just Google West Manchild, if it's something I produce, usually it's out there.
Yeah, and I follow the boy on Twitter, and during the soccer matches, he be going crazy.
That, I warn everybody. On Saturday mornings is when I go up. Most people don't wake up when the soccer is on. So if you wake up like around 11 or 12, then you won't see me. But my timeline at that time is full of nothing but overseas people, Arsenal fans talking about soccer. So it's not like I just be stashing to myself. I'll be going in with the rest of the crowd. So after 12, you should calm down.
All right, no doubt. Well, thanks for coming in the war room this evening, man. We really appreciate it. We're going to get you back next time you have a project coming out.
Enjoy it.
No doubt.
All right, no thanks, man. Good looking out.
All right, peace. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you.
All right.
I ain't even going to let the rhyme start on that one because that beat is crazy.
The samples be crazy, cuz.
That's the thing. That's why I was saying, like, and plus he just said the Philly International thing. Like, his beats take you back in the day. Like, you can tell that he respects music, you know, not just hip hop, but he respects music from other genres.
Kenny Gamble.
And older music. Like, cause some of his samples, I'd be like, yo, that was a jam back in the day.
No doubt.
Maybe on that, like Kanye type.
It's time to talk some football, good brother.
Yes, it is football time in the war room. Where's that song we love? There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. All right, so look, Y'all know we had to start it out with this one. Tim Tebow wins again. I know
we
have people
we say anything else,
right now
before
about
we,
to be upset.
We want to send a special shout out to my man Danny Earl, a.k.a. Doug Daniels, said it for the world to hear. Tim Tebow!
Yeah.
Yo, this game was interesting because I was actually in Minnesota, in the Metrodome for this game. This reminded me of the time I was at, what was it, the 2001 All-Star game when AI won the MVP in Washington. The first half of the football game was basically what you expected from two bad offenses. And then the second half of this game somehow turned into a shootout. And it was like Christian Ponder, touchdown. Tebow drives them back down, touchdown. They were just – offenses started trading points. Came down to the last 3 minutes of the game. Minnesota took the lead down by – so Denver's down three with 3 minutes left, 80 yards to go. So you know what I put on the Facebook page. You know what I tweeted. I tweeted that situation and asked people what time it was. It was Tebow time. And unlike anything that we're used to seeing in Philadelphia, he drove the team down. They actually should have scored a touchdown, but the receiver dropped the ball in the end zone. Great throw. The reason, I mean, it didn't look great because you know how it looks when he throws the ball. But dude dropped it because I don't know if he thought it was going to get to him, so he kind of stopped in his route. And when he saw it was going to get out there, he tried to fingertip it and he missed it. So they got the field goal, and then the defense went to work. Got the interception. They were right back down there for another field goal with 3 seconds left, and they won the game. PJ, what is it about your man? We ask this question every week. We look at his game, and it's hard to explain why he's so successful.
Why is your man winning? You can't put your finger on it. I don't know. I watched that game, man, and I'm like, yo, this dude does it again. I mean, like you said, in the first half, it's like – he might be the type of player or athlete that can only play when the stakes are high. Like, I don't know.
Get him
like,
in
maybe
some meaningless contest and he probably suck.
Yeah, it's like in the first half, it's like he's
great
trying
player,
to get it together.
Right?
Huh? What'd you say, Jim?
I said if we combine Tebow and LeBron, then it'd be murder.
I know. That's just heart and talent. You morph that together.
He's actually,
man.
I ain't gonna front though. I feel like, you know, I'm like, again, I'm still middle of the road on Tebow, but I do see some progress with him. Because if you look at some of the throws that he made in the Minnesota game, some of those throws, a good amount, especially for Tebow, were actually on the button. I mean, it still was ugly to release the long
game. PJ, it's funny that you say that because. Now, for everybody out there who talks to us on Facebook every day, PJ is the only world member who's not on Facebook. We put that question out there the other day to ask people if he's improved, and a couple of people came on quickly saying no. There is no way in hell if you watch football, you can sit there and honestly say that he hasn't improved. We didn't ask if he was good or great.
If you're expressing that sentiment, you have to be careful. You might have to stand like Malcolm at the window for saying that Tebow's improving. We didn't say he was good.
I didn't say
that. All we said was
he's
improving.
Yeah, he's improving. I mean,
and
him.
The anger was astounding.
Yo, that's so
we got
weird.
It right now. Ian, in the Facebook page said Tebow still stinks. Don't care what y'all say. Stinking and improving is two different things. You can have levels of doo-doo. When somebody's doo-doo can stink, but then some big dude comes in the stall next to you and his doo-doo stinks a whole lot more. So the first doo-doo is improvement over the second doo-doo. That's what we're trying to say, but people not understanding, you know, the words that we use here.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Because think about a lot of those passes are on the money. When he came in against the Lions, all he threw to was open space. He hit no receivers that whole game.
Yeah.
So how can you not say he hasn't improved? Come on, man.
But here's the thing. What people don't realize is he doesn't have to be a Breeze or a Brady or Manning. Like, they're winning it with a whole different formula. They have a dominant defense. Those are the guys. Brees doesn't have a dominant defense. Brees, like, at this point, doesn't.
I don't, that's how it goes. That's how it's been going, but I got to give him a little more props for this Minnesota game because.
Oh, no, I understand that. That's, but what I'm saying is this, though.
Party.
The NFL is a copycat league. More quarterbacks will get a chance to play who play his style of ball, and people are going to try to build defenses around them. Watch. I'm telling you, watch.
It's not going to happen that way. This is the perfect storm, and I'm going to explain what's going on as I see it. And kind of what has been said by the head coach, they came in with an offense that was set. Within 2 to 3 games, mid-season essentially, they scrapped that entire offense and installed a read option offense. There's never been a read option offense run consistently in the NFL. There are packages for it. But they run a read option offense the entire game. Now,
but if you look at the numbers,
the reason I say it's the perfect storm is because you're not going to consistently have a 6'4", 6'3" quarterback who's 240. Dev, you saw him, who's going to be able to consistently play like that. And
he looks like a
trucking
person, man.
Yeah, he looks like that. That's not you. That's the perfect storm. Everybody else that has the talent and ability to run like him, or even better, isn't his size and can't take the punishment he can take.
Now,
here's the first thing about it. They don't even run the read option as much as
they've been doing, but they didn't do that this week, man. They ran an offense where the dude was dropping back and passing the ball. He didn't run much.
That's the improvement. That's the improvement
I don't know.
We're talking about.
Yeah. So I don't know.
But if you look at the numbers, that's a myth that people believe because they hear it on TV. If you break down every play of all their games. Let me finish what I'm saying. What I'm saying is they had a Tebow, he had his own special on ESPN. They broke down every play. They haven't run the option in the last 3 weeks as much as you believe. They're running a double tight end traditional set. 90% of the plays for the last 3 weeks. But people get caught in this whole read option thing, and they say they're just running the read option. They're not even really running it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with the Eagles, Jim. How everybody keeps talking about the wide nine, and they really only do that on third down.
They ain't run a wide nine in 2 weeks. They run a wide nine, like not as much as they were when the season started. Like, they jumped into those packages, but they really got out of that over the last couple of weeks. But people still running with that.
Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got our man Naeem in Baltimore. Naeem, what's up, man?
Nah, I just want to say 3 quick things. What's up, world, bro? It's a proud day to be a Laker fan. Chris CP3 came to L.A. Never got to get a good hour to get it done. And the number 2 thing, what's up with your boy crybaby LeBron James crying on TV like a female again? Are you serious? He's crying. That's a chump. That's a sucker move. Shut up, play ball, and make yourself. That's all you got to do.
Good. What's number 3?
The number 3 thing is when y'all talking about rap music, I wasn't a Tupac fan, but you got to respect the man. He was a beast. I grew up Nas, Biggie. No, I didn't like Tupac music. Sorry, baby. But I respected him. You know what I mean? You know I'm a true Baltimore folks. Where you know we from up top. I'm a Nas, Biggie. I'm tired between them, but when I put that Reasonable Doubt CD in my car, the mind frame I was in then, man, that Reasonable Doubt CD is a true classic. Don't ever get that messed up.
Absolutely.
Don't ever get it messed up. Only prove yourself on that. You
that's
know?
What I was saying. That's why I'm a Jigga fan and not so much Hov.
You're a Jigga fan, not so much Hov.
I'm a Jigga fan.
Mature.
He's a I hear that. That's like the cliche.
Naeem, you sound like you're a real hip hop head, and I'm a Jay-Z fan as well. But where he lost me was when he said, "I dumbed down my lyrics to double my dollars." We never condone selling out the hood.
He's now, you gotta say, he's battling himself now. He's changing up now. He's forgetting where he came from. You know what I mean? That's all. You know, as men, sometimes we all as men start to smell ourselves. He taking shit no straight. Excuse me. Ooh, sorry. You know what I mean? So, but like I said on the new rapper side, I like Juel Ortiz. I gotta give a young man Drake some respect, you know. I gotta give Meek Mills. I mean, he's rapping Philly so hard, so fresh. I mean, it's just, you know, it's some new rappers out there I can listen to. But like y'all said, Gucci Man, he would never listen to my car.
You no playing your ride, huh?
I don't even know what Gucci Man. I don't even know none of his songs.
No,
I give him a chance because his name was Gucci Man. First of all, his name Gucci Man.
Yeah, that's why I come pick what y'all about. Timmy, let's get ready. Size the rings up, baby. I'm out. I ain't got no more to say. Purple right, boy, size the rings up. Who got something to say?
Call, man.
Who got something to say?
You said size the rings up. All right, so let's see now. Forte, he has now joined Cutler. Well, he has a level 2 sprain on his MCL, so he's out. It could be anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, so he could come back or his season could be done. He'll never be 100% this season. Putting that on top of the Cutler injury, what do y'all think about the Bears? Are they definitely done now? A lot of people said they were done when Cutler went down. PJ, are the Bears done?
I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah. I mean, I think without Cutler, like this, without Cutler and without Forte, I can't see them competing. Now, I'm not looking at the remainder of their schedule right now, but yeah. When you take out Cutler and you take out Forte off of that offense, that's like, what, 80% of the production? I'm just throwing numbers out, but just from, like, looking at that, how they play, I mean, that's going to be tough, man. I mean,
it's got to be because Forte is what, like 48% of the offense, and then that overlaps with the quarterback.
Right.
That might be like 99.2% of their offense.
I'm just trying to think of, I mean, the division. It seems like you don't really know what you're getting out of the Lions. They're coming back down to reality, and they keep skitzing. All the players keep skitzing in the games. I mean, the Vikings aren't doing anything. I mean, sometimes in the NFC, I'm like, yo, does it even matter what anybody else does? As long as Aaron Rodgers got two legs and two arms, I don't even think it matters what nobody else does.
I think New Orleans is the only team that might be able to get him a run because it'll be another shootout just like the opening game.
That young man, 72.
It's like whoever blinks first. And Aaron Rodgers is due to make a mistake. Dude, they made a mistake all season. He's due to make a mistake at some point.
Yeah.
So,
you know what's funny about the Bears, too, Dev? A lot of people were saying, well, I say a lot of pundits, were saying that the Bears, they thought with say, Cutler and Forte, were going to be able to give Green Bay a run. And I still didn't see that. Like, I just think with Green Bay, like you said, you got to have some sickening offensive power. Like, seriously, this team is ridiculous. But let me stop.
Because they've already proven that you're just not going to stop them. If you stop them,
right,
you just got lucky. So, you know, teams are hoping that luck happens in the playoffs. But I don't see it happening. I see if Green Bay ends up not winning the Super Bowl this year, it's going to be because the offense didn't have that extraordinary day that they've been having every week. Because remember we said, with the way their defense plays, they make big plays, but they give up a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If the offense staggers just a little bit, they could be in for it because the defense just gives up too much.
Yeah. But, similar to that Saints Super Bowl team in terms of the opportunistic defense and the offensive game.
Exactly.
I don't foresee anyone messing with the Green Bay Globetrotters. The Green Bay Globetrotters got metal on charge. Dude,
every team
he can't even get a 500-yard day passing because he's so efficient, they just score. Sometimes I'm sure he sits in the team and he's like, yo, why don't y'all not score so that I can get my yardage game up? Because, like, once they hit 400, once he hits about 350, it's like they're done. 350 yards equals at least 4 touchdowns for him, probably 2 running touchdowns. They're going to get 2 turnovers, and the game's over.
Yeah.
Yo, I felt so bad for the Giants fan.
Before we get to this call, our man E is back at it on our Facebook page. He said Drew Brees is playing better than Aaron Rodgers right now, but not by much. Come on, son.
I wouldn't say that. The only thing I would say is the fact that Aaron Rodgers is playing the way he's playing is kind of overshadowing because Brees is having a phenomenal year.
He's having a great year. And, you know, I'm a big Drew Brees fan, but I don't know. I always see him talking about Drew being the best quarterback in the league. So he has his you know, he's a homer to his picks. That's his man, Drew Brees.
Shout out to Emmanuel because he also said LBJ did not cry.
Man.
Yes, he did.
LeBron and his man, he in there talking about LBJ did not cry. Cut it out. I don't think he meant literally, E, but he was trying to get some sympathy back from being the villain last year. So.
Go ahead. Oh, what I was going to say is this. I was going to say when I watched a LeBron interview, it just made me think, like, I can't imagine Michael or Kobe really caring what people thought about him. Because they're killers. They want to win. They don't care what people think about him. This dude is so soft and sensitive, yo. I feel like LeBron James listens to Drake all day. He's that sensitive.
He's a player when he should be a rapper.
Hey,
he's a crybaby when he should be a baller.
We're going to go to the phone lines. We got our man Mike on the line. Mike, what's up? You in the war room.
Yo, what's going on, fellas? What's going on?
What
it's
up?
Been a while.
I know what you want to talk about. Is it Tebow
time? Boy, here we go.
Is it Tebow time?
Here we go.
Hey, I got the tweet. I heard it was Tebow time. You know I had to call in.
Yo,
so
dude,
we can
Michael.
Talk about whatever. I was just listening to you talk about your man E. Brees is balling, but like really, you can't even come out your mouth and say nothing bad about Aaron Rodgers. He's on a different level right now.
Well, actually, Emmanuel, he was one of the dudes you were talking to the other day on that Tebow thread. He was the one that kept saying he wasn't improving. And
I
don't buy that.
That dude, something wrong with that dude anyway. Like you just said, he's pumping LeBron. He can't say that, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing well. So, I don't take anything he says seriously anyway.
Hey, Mike, you're a professional basketball player. Let me ask you a question. Why does your guy, LeBron, care so much about what people think about
time
him?
Out,
like, shouldn't time he just
out.
Go out and play?
Oh, not my guy. I'm riding with the beat. let's just get that out there right away. I've been to Kobe, you know, with Mike and then Kobe for me. So, you know,
gotcha.
As far as that goes, but he ain't my man.
Kobe, and I can't imagine him caring what people think the way this guy does.
Nah, I don't understand it either. It's
Mike,
when I saw the interview,
in situations yourself, do you care what fans are thinking?
No, I mean, I got booed by my own fans before in a couple places. I look at them and, you know, grab my crotch like, yeah, what? So what?
Shit. Your response is to shoot more and go harder.
Yeah, basically it's like, oh, you want to boo me? Okay, I got something for you. as big as he is, and you know, and as big a stage as he on, he can't, you know, that he just basically admitted that he's soft, you know, and it's blood in the water because you know everybody's going at the dude.
Yeah, it's not much of
and
an
that's
admission.
That's
though.
His own fault.
If you got two eyes, then you know. You've seen that already, whether his fans want to admit it or not. I'm not saying I'm not a fan. You know, I don't dislike
LeBron. No, I mean,
LeBron,
he's a great player. You know, he's
yeah, he's
he,
definitely
he could
a great
be
player
one of the, you know,
until fourth quarter. But I don't know, man. But that interview was definitely a cry out. Like, I don't
like
being
please,
the villain.
Please
I can't
don't
play
me.
Well
please,
under
now
these
you
circumstances.
You think if Dwight Howard goes to L.A. that Kobe's going to care what people say? I think not.
I mean, because he's heard that all of his career. Oh, he wouldn't have blah, blah without Shaq. And then even people tried to slight him on the Gasol, but he didn't win nothing until Gasol came. Like, come on, man.
You know, the funny
drop 81 on you and go about his business.
The funny thing about Kobe is all of these dudes still in their own sense or own way, even though they're carving their own niche, they all still look up to him. So at the end of the game, Dwight and Chris are going to give him the ball and give him the opportunity to be the legend he is. They're not taking that from dude.
Yeah, you already know that. Cause, I mean,
hold on,
it's a no-brainer, though.
I think we got E on the line. Is this E? You?
This is E. What's up, Dev?
What's up, man? I tell
How you, doing,
I told
buddy?
Man, call and defend yourself, man. They're going on you, on Jay, on LeBron. Not really on Drew Brees, but well, we don't go for that. He's playing better than Aaron Rodgers. But explain it. Explain it.
Okay, now, what I said, I didn't say that Aaron Rodgers was not having a bad year, but I'm saying as of right now, the past three or four games, Drew Brees has played better than Aaron Rodgers. As of right now, the interception against St. Louis, that was unforgivable. But the last three to four or five games, Drew Brees has played better than Aaron Rodgers. I got to stand by that.
How about a whole season, though? We talking about as an entire season, not the last three games.
Well,
who's having a better season?
Well, my comment was as of right now. I didn't say the whole season. Right now, Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. I mean, we can't even argue that, but I'm not going to the playoffs. You know, you need that momentum to go into the playoffs. I'm thinking Drew Brees is playing better ball, and y'all say to me in the playoffs.
If there's any team that could possibly, you know, derail the
New
Packers,
Orleans
I think
could do
it would
it.
Be
and
New Orleans.
It will be New Orleans.
New Orleans
going to
get
them
in the East.
Yeah, and New Orleans has a running game, and Green Bay doesn't. So if it gets a little cold, you know, that running game for Green Bay is not going to do it.
Now, E, Let me hear you defend LeBron now.
Oh. No, you guys stay bashed LeBron. I mean, no matter what he does. You know what? You know what's going to happen? He's going to win the title this year. You guys are going to say because it's a short season. I can see it already.
Hold on.
People in general will say that, if it wasn't a short season, you know, the Lakers would have won or, you know, what, Kevin Durant's team would have won. I can see it right now. That's going to be this season.
As a fan and a supporter, you should never concede weakness by pointing to an excuse initially as the start of your argument. I'm not going to point to this.
I just know how you guys think. I like to think before you guys think. You know, you make a good point, but
that's pretty hard. I get up pretty early in the morning, brother.
No, bro. For you to say that, and I see all the anti Tebow stuff you say. Isn't that like the same thing? Y'all say he can't win. He wins.
Basically, he wins. He can't throw. He throws.
He can't do this. It's the defense now. I mean, like, what is it?
Okay. That's an excuse. Guess what? LeBron's going to win this year, next year. He's going back to back.
I remember going back to back. People said
he will not win the championship while the Bean. If they get Dwight Howard, it's a wrap. You might as well go ahead and put LBJ on
it. It doesn't matter.
He's sitting at home right now praying that they don't get Dwight Howard.
No, he's not.
He's trying to get him in Miami.
He doesn't care who's there. Oh, okay. But wait a minute, fellas. Okay, now the Lakers are stacking the team. I don't see nobody saying nothing bad about that. When he got the victory, he was like,
Jimmy doesn't even agree, but we're already documented. We got blogs and everything about super teaming and about what it's going to do to the league in the future. So it doesn't matter who does it. I don't like it. I mean, I'm not saying I like it because it's cool. I'm not a Laker fan.
Just so you know, this is Jimmy here, E. I like super teams. I was on the other side. I was by myself in a war. I'm like, I like it. But with that being said,
I hate it.
The one thing I didn't like had nothing to do with him leaving Cleveland, but the whole press conference and taking my talent, that's what bothered me with the way he
did it. That's what bothered me, too.
Yeah. I have a problem with that, the press conference. I mean, because they went to him, he did it. So, you know, hey.
Come on,
hey, but hey, Mike and E, thanks for your call. We gotta go. It's 7:58.
All right, thanks, fellas.
We gotta do this again. So call in next week and we just have another call or something. All right, y'all.
Yo, I didn't even realize Town was getting this late, yo. Because
we have a good ass time.
Let's go. Anyway, thanks for joining us in the world this evening, family. Special thanks to the homie Wes Manchild. We're rooting for you to win that award. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to the sports show you can never afford to miss. It's a recession. Have a great sports weekend, everybody. Until next week, we'll see you.
This is a Wes Manchild production.
Power, power, I got the power, give me your pen and the pen.
and I'm sick of the summer EST. Not the act Nicholas one. We updated and upgraded. Big dogs, you updated. Cousin, we got the streets buzzing. Get the guts faded. Hot as the sun, I'ma shine like my father's head. A flow soft, these dudes scared of the barber chair. See how I line them up. Lotto ticket out of luck. Take your watch, proof that shit. Homie, your time is up. I'm here now. I set on that dead crown. Luxury things, the four seasons all year round. How that did sound, I'm feeling like the best of spit. I don't really know the half like a pessimist. Sip the rest of it, go and rest a bit. Fall back, undress the chick. She said, chill, you look mixed. Your pop must be Mexican. Told her that I'm black on both sides, most definite.
Power, power, I got the power. Give me your pen and the pen, I'll be back, get it out.
Goddamn, chill. You gotta let me get some of this, my nigga.
Hello.
When I start around the starving line, my art is divine. Flow with the hardest designs, the hottest artists are signed. I start the lines with the thoughts of my mind. I murder beats, every song is a crime. Can turn water to wine, every verse I rhyme. And equipped with the knowledge and Nostradamus. Study astrology and watch the comments. Through the telescopic view, how you vision me living. Champagne sipping, big spenders, surrounded by cinnamon women. And they love me cause they see the gentleman in them. Still a thug, the dress code, Timberland's denim. In my mental vision, I see me instrumental ripping, continental whipping till I'm like 111. Listen, heaven's missing an angel. I came on a mission to school these rappers and get paid like tuition. Money talk, my nigga, every now paid. That's why I'm riding the beat and I'm surfing the sound waves.
Power, power, I give me your pen and the pen, I'll be back, get it out. Power, power, I got the power. Give me your pen and the pen, I'll be back, get it out.
I'm feeling live as EA, but better like 2K. I'm all on these beats, got it covered like two phase. I'm on deck, next to play, hip hop, hooray. I want the night, he's sweeter than Brother Noomsday. Golden child, style is the coldest. Move out like the Romans with thousands of soldiers. We wild and control us, I doubt it. We rolling, you'll notice the one who shines out of the chosen. Quick to heat the booth up, verbally abused chumps. Up to no good, stuck in the hood like the glue club. Bullying beats, I'm too tough, get your crew cut. Back with the ball, sharp as a jailhouse, too fresh. Bacardi and fruit punch, mix that to sit fresh. Yeah, I've been working out, OE six pack. The first act fell flat, big sis laugh. So to pay attention to a little brother's get back.
Power, power,
and that's that.
I got the power.